Matthew chapter 8. Let's see. Brother Art, will you go back in the office and get my phone? I need to turn my hearing aids down. Matthew chapter 8. We've been learning about faith. And so I want to give you an illustration here of one who God has given faith, one who comes to Christ through faith. This is what we've been studying, so we'll see it now illustrated for us. It says here, when he was come down from the mount, you know our Lord had been up there on the mount. He was preaching what they call the Sermon on the Mount. And he just finished, and he was preaching. And it's appropriate that he was preaching, and then this man comes to him, because faith cometh through hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. So that was appropriate, that because this is how God gives faith. And he's going to work a miracle here. And that's appropriate as well through preaching, because the physical miracles that Christ did are a picture of the spiritual miracle he works in giving us life and faith. So that's what we have pictured here through the preaching of the gospel. Now, first of all, no sinner is too sinful to come to Christ. No sinner is too bad to come to Christ. Not any. He says here in verse 1, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper. A leper. This was the worst, most dreaded disease of that time that a man could have. If a man got leprosy, he was sure to die. Unless God intervened, he was going to die. And it's a picture of sin. Leprosy is a picture of sin. At this time, leprosy was incurable. And so a man would die a slow, lingering death. Well, that's a picture of sin. You and I died spiritually in the garden, and no man can cure this. No man can cure us of sin. And we, in spirit, we died immediately. But in body, unless we die just immediately in God's purpose, we're going to die physically a slow, long, lingering death. That's what sin has done to us. Sin is what makes you do what you're told not to do. Sin is what makes you do things that you know you're not supposed to do. That's what sin is. So Eve had sinned in the garden before she ever took the fruit. When she looked at that tree and desired it, to make her wise, she had already sinned in her heart. And this is the problem. It's a heart problem we have. And no man can cure that heart problem. Leprosy was a spreading disease. It spread all over a man's body. That's a picture of sin. The scripture says the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That's a description of leprosy, but that's a description of our sin. It's from head to toe. We're totally, thoroughly corrupted in sin. And leprosy was a hardening disease. Leprosy would cause, it's actually a nerve disorder. And it causes the nerve endings to die so that the leper could not feel any pain. He could put his hand in a fire and burn himself and never feel it. That's what leprosy would do. And sin hardens. Sin hardens. I was telling the young people Friday night, the things that you did when you were 5 years old that would just break your heart because you was against your father or your mother. Well, when you got to be 10 years old, those things didn't even faze you. And the things that broke your heart when you were 10 years old, when you got to be 20 years old, those things didn't even faze you. You just get more hardened and more hardened and more hardened in sin. And unless God intervenes and gives a man a new heart, he just goes on becoming more hardened and more hardened and more hardened. Scripture says this. It speaks of men having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, I burned my hand real bad one time working in a restaurant down in Tennessee. And it had a big blister on it. It was just awful. But when that thing finished being, you know, after the blister went away and all that, I had such a callus on my hand. I couldn't feel anything at all there. And I still don't have much feeling there. If you really get burnt, really, really badly get burnt, it'll destroy all the feeling that's there. Well, that's the conscience, God said. It becomes where there's no feeling whatsoever. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to sin. Past feeling. So God must intervene, or that's our condition. We're the leper. Lepers made everybody and everything they touched unclean. And that's us by nature. You could do a good work and the work be good and the work help somebody and do tremendous amount of good for them. But between you and God, it's a wicked work because you did it. And I did it. Because our motive, the motive of our heart is wrong. We do things trying to earn favor with God by nature. We do things trying to show off before men by nature. All the motives of the natural heart are wrong. And that's why when God told Israel to build him an altar, and he said, but you make sure you just make it out of stones you get out of the earth. Don't you pick up your tool and start chiseling on it and try to make it all pretty. It might look beautiful to you, but because you touched it, you polluted it. That's us and our sin. We pollute everything. Under the law, a leper had to be legally put out of the camp and had to go dwell in a leper colony away from everybody. He had to be separated out. What does Scripture say about sin? Our iniquities have separated us from God. It's our sin that has separated us from God so that God can have nothing to do with us because God's holy and we're sinners. And you know, the truth is, we don't have any idea just how holy God is. We really don't. Even as believers, we don't. We know God's holy. We believe He's holy. But we don't. We just can't enter into how holy God really is. Scripture says God hates sinners. And now that's not like a sinful hatred like you and I have. That's a righteous hatred. God hates sinners. He doesn't just hate your sin. He hates sinners. I was in a college freshman English class, and I doubt they teach this in college courses now. I don't know, but we were studying the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, by Jonathan Edwards. And in that course of that sermon, he says that God hates sinners. And of course, the classroom was up in arms. This is in the buckle of the Bible Belt, you know, and they're up in arms. And no, God doesn't hate the sinner. God just hates the sin. And I spoke up and said, no, God hates the sinner. Well, before it was over, the teacher wanted to debate this. And so there's the whole class on that side, and there I am on that side. And I said, well, I don't have any way of showing this or telling you this, and there's no point in me arguing with you about it. I said, but I'll bring my Bible tomorrow, and I'll show you. Teacher said, all right. They probably wouldn't allow that today either. And I carried my Bible in there the next day, and I read some Scripture to them, and here's what the Scripture said. The foolish, that's a man. The foolish shall not stand in God's sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Not just the iniquity. He hates the worker of iniquity. The wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth, whom the Lord hates. The wicked and him that loves violence, his soul hateth. That's Scripture. That's how holy God is. He can have nothing to do with a sinner. The heavens are not pure in His sight, and you and I drink sin like water. That's how bad we are. And God can have nothing to do with us because He's holy, holy, holy. But now never imagine, brethren, that you're too sinful to come to Christ. Never imagine you're too sinful to come to Christ. The reason God chose a people in Christ before the foundation of the world is so that He sent His Son into this world to take flesh to bear the sins of His people in His own body on the tree. So that God is just now, His law was honored, and He can give His people faith and bring them to believe on Christ, and in Christ they can meet in harmony. Because both parties are equally holy. Clay, you didn't say that. That's right. In Christ, we're as holy as God. Because that's what Christ was sent to make His people. We're holy and righteous in Christ, so God, who's holy and righteous, can meet with us and we can have peace with one another. So don't ever think you're too sinful to come to Christ. God will only receive us through faith in His Son. You have to come to Christ and believe on Christ. And no man's too sinful for that. No man's too sinful for that. Here's my second point. The truth is, the only way you can come to Christ is if you are sin. If you're nothing but sin. If you have nothing to bring. If you have absolutely nothing but sin. And you cannot bring anything to the table. You have to come empty because you're so thoroughly corrupt in sin. That's the only way you can come. That's the only way you can come to God. Matthew 8:2 says, "Behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean." Now here are five things included in coming to Christ in true faith. Five things. Number one, when a sinner believes on Christ, he's no longer ashamed to confess Christ before the multitudes. Here were a multitude of people following Christ. They're all walking along following Christ. And behold, there came a leper. This man didn't care what the multitudes thought. He didn't care what his fellow man thought about him. This man had to get to Christ, and he came to Christ. He wasn't ashamed to come to Christ. He wasn't ashamed. The Scripture says, "Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." That means this man stepped out of that crowd and came to Christ because he believed on Christ. He believed on Christ. And he was not ashamed. When you truly behold Christ, and you behold how merciful and how good and what He's given, how He's laid down His life and became destitute in poverty to make His people rich. When you behold that, brethren, you won't be ashamed of Him. You won't be ashamed of Him. But now let me tell you this. If you go through this life ashamed of Christ, and you're too good to come to Christ because you just are righteous and you're not going to confess before me and you're a sinner. And so you're ashamed of Christ. You won't come to Him. Listen to what Christ said. "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of my gospel, in this adulterous and sinful generation." You see, there's the issue. You're ashamed to come to Christ, but you're not ashamed to be received and accepted by a sinful and adulterous generation. You're too ashamed that you're going to offend the sinful, adulterous generation. All your sinful, God-hating, sin-loving friends, you're afraid you're going to offend them. And you'd rather offend Christ. See, God gives you a new heart, and you don't care what that sinful multitude thinks. You got to have Christ. But He said, "Whosoever will be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed." Christ said, "I'll be ashamed of him when I come with my angels." That day's coming. That day's coming. There's going to be a multitude that were ashamed of Christ, and Christ will not own them to be His. He will not. Here's the second thing that's involved in coming to Christ through faith, is to come humbled and broken in spirit. It says this man came and worshipped Him. He came and worshipped Christ. That means that leper stepped out of this crowd. Here's all these people watching. And he came to Christ and he hid his face in the dust at Christ's feet. That's what worship means. He bowed down. He bowed down. That's what sinners do in our hearts when we come to Christ. We come and we bow down in the dust before Christ's feet. Before His feet. We're haughty, we're arrogant, we're proud sinners by nature. We think we're really hot stuff by nature. And God has to give you a heart to see what you really are. How filthy and abominable we are before God. And when He makes us see that, brethren, He brings you down to the dust in your heart. And you come down to Christ's feet. Before, you might have been using the excuse that you were too sinful to come to Him. But really, the problem was you thought you was too righteous to come to Him. But when He gives you this view of ourselves and makes us see what we really are, how vile and corrupt and awful we are in our sin nature, then we come down. We come down in heart, humble, broken, contrite in spirit. Scripture said, go to 1 Corinthians 14. I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians 14:25. Paul was talking about preaching, and this is what he says will happen. If you're preaching the gospel clearly and somebody comes in and hears it preached and God blesses it to their heart, listen to what he says. 1 Corinthians 14:25. Thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. They're made manifest to that sinner. That sinner comes in, he sits down, he starts hearing the gospel, and God speaks into his heart. And the secrets that he didn't know about himself, the secrets that he really was thinking in his own heart, that deceitful heart is desperately wicked and he couldn't know it, but now God manifests it to him and he knows his own heart. The secrets of his own heart. The Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Who does it give discernment to? That sinner in whom God makes it effectual. And he begins to hear it. John Gill said this, the Spirit of God shows him the lust of his heart, filling the conscience with a sense of guilt and a consciousness of deserved punishment, so that the person looks upon himself as particularly spoken to, and as if the person speaking had knowledge of all that was within him, and adapted his discourse on purpose to him, and delivered it for his sake alone. I've heard a bunch of you tell me that. That was spoken right to me. That was spoken to me. And he said, that's what God will do. He'll make you think that man, he's adapted his sermon just to talk to me. I want you to know, if you hear the Word of God that way, yes, sir, it is to you. Don't back up from it. It is to you. And I pray, God, it won't be coming to you and you just hear it as a man. I pray that you hear it as it truly is, the Word of God, which works in His people effectually. He said, verse 25, here's what it does when it works effectually. And so falling down on his face, that means worship. Worship. Just what the leper did. Falling down on his face, he'll worship God. And concerning that preacher and that church of God that was used to preach the gospel to him, he'll report, God is in you of a truth. Nothing like this ever happened to me before. God's speaking through those people. God taught me I'm a sinner. God brought me down to His feet, made me worship Him. God's in that people. God's in that people. He's preaching through that people. The sacrifices of God, that which pleases God, are a broken spirit. A broken spirit. A contrite heart, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. God said, I dwell with the man that's of a humble spirit. I'm there with him. And that's the only way, you know He dwells with the man that's of a humble spirit, because that's the only way we get a humble spirit. It's for Christ to enter in and bring us down. Bring us down. Number three. To come to Christ is to come owning Christ to be your sovereign Lord, to do with you as He will. This man came and he said, Lord, if Thou wilt. Lord, if Thou wilt. He didn't come and say, well, I decided I will let You heal me of my leprosy today. Nope. Nope. He came saying, Lord, You don't even have to heal me. It's up to Your will to do with me what You will. That's when a man's been broken. That's when a man's been brought down. He comes saying, not my will, but Thine be done. Sinners are not saved by our will. We're not saved by our will. We're saved by God's will. You are, as Jonathan Edwards said in that sermon, you're like a spider hanging from a little thin spider web above the flames of hell, just hanging there, ready to fall any minute. And it's up to God's will whether He'll pluck you from that fire and save you or let you fall. That sort of, if God teaches us that in our heart, it'll bring a man to do what this leper did, to fall at His feet and beg mercy from God. Otherwise, we'll keep boasting, arrogant, and proud, and saying that's not fair, and God's not treating me right. All that is a man thinking he's righteous and deserves to be saved. That's all that is. That's all that is. He came saying, Lord, if Thou wilt. Scripture says, God said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Salvation's of God. That showeth mercy to whom He will. Whom He will. Whom He will. Fourthly, to come to Christ is to come believing Christ is able. Is to come believing Christ is able. He said, Lord, if Thou will, Thou can. If You're willing, Lord, You can. You can. In Matthew 9, if you look down there just across the page in verse 28, these two blind men came to Christ. And look what he said, verse 28. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I'm able to do this? Believe ye that I'm able to give you sight? What does the Scripture say? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must come believing that He's God and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, that He's able. Why did Moses not stagger at the promises of God? Romans 4 says he didn't stagger at the promises of God. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God, because he was persuaded that what God promised, God was able to fulfill. Faith believes God is able to save. This leper came to Christ because he believed Christ was the only one able to make him clean. So he came and said, Lord, if You will, You can. I believe You can. Do you believe Christ can heal you of your sin? That's the issue, do you? You believe Christ is able to heal you of your sin? If we do, we come to Christ. That's right. If you're sick, you go to the physician. That's what sick people do. And here's number five. Faith comes to Christ confessing, I am a sinner. I started saying, my first point was, never think you're too bad of a sinner to come to Christ. My second point is, you have to come as only a sinner. You have to come
as the very worst sinner there is. Believing that about yourself, that there's nothing you can do, absolutely nothing you can do. How do you get that out of this text? He came saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. He was unclean. He knew his condition. He knew the shape he was in. And he knew he couldn't do a thing about it. He couldn't do a thing about it. That's what keeps sinners from Christ. By nature, we think we can do something about it. By nature, we think, well, if I just try to clean up my act and turn over a new leaf and put away some sin, that won't please God. That's just the same old nasty, filthy, dirty leaf flipped over. That's all that is. That won't please God. We say, well, I just need to do enough good works to make up for my bad works. God said, Christ is going to judge us according to our works, whether good or evil. What does that mean? That means He's going to take all your good works, all your evil works, He's going to put them on one side of the scale. He's going to take all your good works and He's going to put them on the same side of the scale. And Christ's going to be on the other. And you're not going to come up equaling to Christ's righteousness. You're just not. That's the righteousness you got to have is Christ. And everything outside of Christ comes short of the glory of God. And that's enough sin to send us to hell for 1,000 lifetimes. We have to come as nothing. Not just saying, I've done some bad things. Not just saying, I've sinned a little. But coming, owning the fact, all I am is sin. All I can think is sin. All I can perform is sin. All I can speak is sin. I can't do one thing that's not sin. That's to confess you're a sinner. The problem is most think they're too good to come to Christ. Look down at Matthew 9 and look at verse 9. Jesus passed forth and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs, and he said unto him, follow me, and he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, Levi was so happy, he was not ashamed. He threw a party in his house, invited all his publican friends. Levi was a tax collector, and he invited everybody from work over to his house. And they was all a bunch of thieving, corrupt tax collectors and a bunch of harlots and sinners. That's all they was. And Jesus set at meat in the house. Behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, These were the First Baptist Church folks. These were the folks that graduated from theological seminary. These were the folks that were whitewashed, and if you looked at them, you thought them the holiest folks there is. They looked and they saw Christ sitting with this bunch of refuse, these sinners and these publicans, and then his disciples sitting with them. And they said, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Those that are whole don't need Christ a physician, only those that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. And he quotes the scripture here, I will have mercy, not sacrifice. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? God says, I'll have mercy. I won't receive sacrifices from men. I'm going to save by mercy that I give, not by sacrifices that men give to me. For I'm not come to call the righteous. You see that? Christ said, I didn't come to call men that think they're good. I didn't come to call men that think they're righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. Those that I just explained to you can't do anything but sin. How does a man get to be that kind of a sinner? Well, he's that kind of a sinner because we sinned in Adam and we come forth sinning. That's all we do. He made himself that kind of sinner. But how does he get to own himself as that kind of sinner? Only the Holy Spirit has to teach you and make manifest the secrets of your heart to you and to me. Lastly, if you come to Christ as this leper came, you'll find what this leper found. If you come to Christ as this leper came, you'll find what this leper found. Everybody does. Look here. Nobody dare touch a leper. Nobody would touch a leper except the great physician. He's the one that has the cure. He is the cure. Look here. Verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. If you come to Christ, not ashamed of him, broken and contrite in spirit, owning him to have the sovereign right to do with you as he will, believing Christ is able, confessing all you are is sin. In other words, if you come to him through faith, immediately your sins will be made whole. Christ will heal you. Immediately. Immediately. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, we're not talking about how you're going to see yourself in your flesh and how other believers are going to see you. We're talking about how God sees you. Cleansed of all your sin. It's gone. It's gone. That's what you find when you come to Christ. Why did he touch him? We have to have this union with Christ. We have to be one with Christ. That's what's pictured in that touch. Christ has got to enter in and we become one with Christ. And he says, I will. I will. I'm willing to heal you. You come in the way that pleases me. I'm willing to heal you. And immediately he was healed. And then you'll be a testimony to poor lost sinners. I titled this the testimony. He said to them, go now. Don't tell anybody. Go straight to the priest and offer the gifts that were required by Moses, that Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. This man, the Lord had made this man a testimony unto everybody. What was he testifying? That Christ is that high priest pictured in that law, and that Christ is that offering pictured in that law, and that Christ is the end of that law for righteousness to everyone that believes. That's right. He only sent him there to do that because at this point Christ hadn't been to the cross yet and put an end to it all and the veil rent. So he sent that man, but he was testifying he's the one that law spoke about and he's the end of it. You come to Christ this way, sinner, you'll be a testimony unto God, unto men. He'll make you the testimony of who he is. Because only he can do that. Only he can heal a leper. Only he can make a sinner whole. Isn't that right? I pray God bless that. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for your righteousness and holiness. We pray, Lord, your kingdom would come now into the heart of some sinner, that Christ the King would be formed in your people. Make us come owning you to be our sovereign Lord. Make us fall down at your feet, worshiping you. Make us confess what we are, nothing but sin. Make us, Lord, to believe you're able, to trust you alone. And don't ever, ever stop. We need this every hour. We need you to do this for us every day. Keep us at the feet of Christ. Lord, if you do this for us, we don't have to ask you to heal our toe and all these other things. Lord, we have everything we need if you just give this to us. This is our need. Christ. We ask, Lord, give us Christ for your honor and glory. We ask it in his precious name. Amen.